If you can take 6 months off, you can do it.
6 months could be
next month. Doesn't have to be all at once. Charlie, each punch of karma would take around a month to apply. With the purva karma, with the punch of karma, and then the uttara karma, it takes around a month, each one of them, to actually do it properly. Because if you do it too fast, the body is not like, you know, it's not a mechanical thing. If you try and eliminate the toxins too fast without properly preparing the body, then it just throws the body out of balance. There's so many factors to it. It has to be the right time of the year. It has to be, you know, the right amount of everything. It's best like that. I mean, they have panchakarma, you can have the whole thing done in a day. They do all five karmas in a day. With hardly any preliminary. But if it's properly applied, then it takes a while. But generally not everyone, I mean, that's if you, the panchakarma, the whole Ayurvedic thing, is really meant for, you know, like kings, persons who would go through the whole thing were very wealthy kings. But for an ordinary person, hopefully by following the proper diet, the proper lifestyle, you don't have to go through the whole thing. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, we're not so strict in what we've done or even what we're doing. Therefore, if we really get a very chronic disease and it's debilitating, then, you know, if you have some money and some time, and then you can visit a qualified Ayurvedic doctor who knows the science, then they can tell you according to what your disease is, how much the treatment would cost and how long you have to stay there. But generally it's much less expensive than it would be if you went to a hospital and stayed there for a day or something. Some hospitals, I think they cost like $2,000 a day to stay there, at least in America. Anything else? Yes. Well, the more you can fast, the better. Especially if you have a kapha disease. Now, if you have a disease caused by vata, you know, that's a different thing. You may not want to. Just like, for instance, vata persons with a vata constitution, they shouldn't fast more than one day. And a pitta person, he can fast up to 3 days. And a kapha person, he can fast up to a month. A month, you know. And he won't feel so inconvenienced. But if a vata person fasted for more than one day, he'd completely be on the ground, you know, he'd be on the bed, completely wiped out. Excuse me? So for a person who can't fast for even one day, then he may, for instance, even a pitta person who wants to fast for a longer period of time, he could fast on juice. Fresh juice. Or some people can fast on milk, or this fast with barley gruel, or there's so many different types of fasts according to what your ailment is in your constitution, the season, so many factors. You have to take into account the person's constitution, the disease he has, the time of the year, his strength, his age. No, it's not so, you know. Yeah, better to take a pill and hope for the best. Doesn't, you know, one pill for everyone. Yeah, it's so complicated, and because it's so complicated, you have to know so much. The doctor is, you know, better off, why go through all the problems, just make the same thing for everyone. It doesn't work. People don't get any benefit, they get sicker, but, you know, it's easy. That's what people think counts. It's more convenient. You know, the pill society, where you don't have to analyze, you don't have to change your diet, you don't have to change your lifestyle, you don't have to change anything. You can go on doing the same, you know, sinful activities, break the laws of nature, and they give you a pill and it's all right. Everything's all right. The magic bullet. The super pill. You know, they advertise it. You take our tonic, costs a little money. you just drink it. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you'll do in the future. You'll be Superman or Superwoman. But to learn all this is complicated. That's why people don't learn it nowadays. And besides that, then you have to analyze each person, figure out what their constitution is, and figure out, you know, think, be in touch with nature, to know how the climate's changing, and what the season of the year are, be aware of the different factors of the day, and different. You have to learn so much. You have to prepare your own medicine. You know, how much you can't mass produce it. You won't make any money. You can't become rich and famous. You can just cure people. But, you know, you can become, if you manufacture some mass tonic and by advertising convince people it's going to work, make you happy and healthy forever, then you can make a lot of money. Or, although it doesn't help anyone. But generally people want to be cheated. Therefore, they encourage people to cheat them. Allopathic medicine, I read in some books. I wasn't there. But the Carnegie Foundation, other foundations, the Ford Foundation, they realized that they wanted to make some money. So they hired one person to go around and figure out how to make money from medicine. This is at the beginning of the 20th century. But he found out that people were growing their own herbs, and they were using that herbology, a knowledge of herbs, and they were curing most of their diseases. And therefore, there would be no way of making money from them because they could grow the herbs right outside their yard. Therefore, they formed a strategy where these big institutions, they supported and created colleges for doctors. And these doctors were trained up in administering chemical medicine, artificial medicine, chemical medicine. They were trained in how to use it. And therefore you had huge colleges being developed where you're training up doctors just how to apply these pharmaceuticals. And then they manufactured pharmaceuticals and charged enormous prices for them. And then they started to pass laws to make use of herbs illegal. That you just couldn't prescribe herbs. For some time there, in many parts of the world, especially the Western world, it was illegal to prescribe herbs. Only recently now it's come back, people are being allowed to prescribe herbs. That's called that whole, what are they called, the health food stores. In other words, people are generally the cheaters and the cheated. And people have developed faith in the allopathic doctors sometimes, but now they're losing that faith because they see if you get one of these allopathic remedies, you look at it and it says, you know, this will cure your liver. It's for your liver, some, you know, long name, the doctor prescribed it. And then in fine print on the little box they give you or the carton, it says, you know, counter indications. You know, if you go blind, please consult your doctor. If your liver explodes, please call this number. You know, if you bleed through five different places in your body, then, you know, please consult. You know, if your kidneys fail and you go deaf, you know, then... It actually says that on the label. Therefore, people look at it and think, all I have is a toothache. You know, my God. Therefore, and people do. 30%, 30 to 40%, or 20 to 40% of all people being treated for diseases, they're being treated because of taking medicine, which was prescribed for some other disease. It's great for the doctors, I mean. The more medicine you prescribe, the more clients you get. But people are realizing that this may not be such a good deal. I'm taking medicine to cure some disease, but then I'm getting worse disease. Just like they're proud now that smallpox and some other diseases have supposedly been eliminated. But what they don't know is actually because by suppressing smallpox with their medicine, what happens is it develops and it goes deeper into the body and comes out as cancer. A more, you know, dangerous and fatal disease, cancer, heart disease, AIDS, whatever else. So they eliminate little diseases and have created bigger diseases. So now you die a more scientific death. That's a whole other thing. Any other questions about this? Yes.
What would you recommend for those who would like to go to India? I mean, in this short, can you get allopathic medicine against this disease?
Yeah, so you go to the shop and it says it's Ayurveda. Everything is Ayurveda in India. And even in the West sometimes, you know, you go to this, it says, this is for your liver, this is the Ayurvedic medicine for your liver. So you buy it and just pop the pills and you think, yeah, that's great, my liver is cured. You know, and if you have rheumatism, you pop these pills. It's the same cheating thing as, you know, as in the West. It probably will probably will have less side effects. But you don't know how it was. There's so many factors. First of all, if it wasn't prescribed to you by a person who actually knows what your constitution is and what the imbalance in your body is, how long it's been there, who doesn't know your case history, doesn't take into account how old you are, what the season is, what time of day to take it, what to eat, what not to eat, what kind of exercise to do. You know, if he doesn't know the science and he doesn't know how the pills were prepared, what ingredients they used, how it was prepared, how old the medicine is, you know, what the general effect will be. If you don't know all those things, then you're just like, you know, going to the pharmacy and saying, I'm sick, and the doctor goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Here's one.
That's actually what I meant. I mean, if I was planning to go to India, and therefore I went to some kind of, just a Western kind of organization who specialized in tropical climates, and they give you some injections, and they prescribe some pills, against diarrhea, etc. So, but it wouldn't be advisable to take that.
I wouldn't do it.
So then what should I do before I go there?
To India? Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. You know, in India. And find out how to live in India properly. Don't overeat. Don't hang out at the restaurant. You know, chant Hare Krishna. Remain in Krishna consciousness. You won't have to worry about it. Be clean. Wash your clothes. Clean your room. Cover yourself. Have a mosquito net. Maybe take some mosquito repellent, non-toxic mosquito repellent. Like that? I mean, there are 800 million people in India. It's not that everyone dies.
They say that they're accustomed to it and their body has...
Accustomed to what?
To they have some kind of defense system in their body which...
Against what?
No,
they get sick if they don't follow, you know, the high, proper hygiene, if they don't eat the proper food, they also get sick. So if you follow the proper hygiene, the proper regulation, you keep your immune system strong, you won't get sick. You know, don't go around looking for mosquitoes, you know, don't go on a field trip looking for mosquitoes with malaria. And if you try and do what's necessary not to get bit by all the mosquitoes there, you're not likely to get malaria. And even if they do bite you, if your immune system is strong enough, you won't even notice it. Yes. The what? The primary diagnosis is by observation. They say within the last 800 years or so, they've introduced pulse diagnosis. They take your pulse and this is Vata, Pitta, Kapha, and they have a science of pulse diagnosis, which is quite elaborate. Or they, by observation, by questioning, there is also urine analysis, there's all kinds of analysis too. But mostly by just hearing from you what your problems are, what your history is, you know, observing different things, how you smell, how you look, you know, what your, how you talk, all these things are observed and they're analyzed according to Ayurvedic understanding, and then they can more or less understand what's wrong with you. You know, you have this symptom and you do this and this experience if you taste this, and then they have a good idea of what's wrong with you. Tibetan medicine?
Tibetan.
Well, there's a type of Tibetan medicine, Unani medicine. There's Siddha medicine. They're all based upon Ayurveda. They're just in different manifestations, slightly different. But they're similar. Yeah. Well, the original science is Ayurveda, but it's been transplanted in different places. The Buddhists from India, when they got kicked out of India, they went to different places like Tibet, Nepal, China, where they used to go there anyhow when they were spreading Buddhism. And that way they took along with them the Ayurvedic science, including the original acupuncture and acupressure comes from Ayurveda. There's a science in South India of that. Yeah. In India, many of the original teachings from the Ayurveda are still preserved in family tradition. So certain medicines, certain techniques are only passed down through families. It's not really, it's not like someone has a good knowledge and they distribute it to everyone. No, there's, in other words, there are certain parts of South India where people have knowledge of these things, but it's not general throughout all of India. Most Ayurvedic doctors in India don't know anything about it, because for different reasons Ayurveda was suppressed in India for many years, especially during the British rule. They made it illegal to practice Ayurveda, therefore had to go underground. And also during the Buddhists, for instance, it is said that the Buddhists, they didn't like, they were practicing ahimsa, so they didn't like a lot of the surgery. So some of the surgical practices became outmoded or suppressed. And the British, you know, outlawed Ayurveda and tried to establish allopathy. Different reasons it was suppressed within India. Or just by Kali Yuga, the simplest succession, the teachings were distorted or changed or forgotten. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you know what the quality of the herb, in other words, all the herbs have to be analyzed according to rasa, the taste, virya, its action, whether it's heating or cooling, vipak, which is the effect on the cellular level, the internal level with the cells, or the prabhav, its special effects. Just like ghee, if you take 1-2 teaspoons of ghee with milk, for instance, at night, then it has a laxative effect. And if you take 1/2 teaspoon, then it has a constipating effect. So that's called prabhav. You know exactly why, it's unexplainable, but that's its special potency. Yeah. And 1/2 teaspoon, it's constipating. But there's all this knowledge. It's called prabhava, the different things that you use. Special, you can't explain it, just special effects, special potency. So knowing all these different things, then you can understand what the effects of different types of medicine are. Yes. Meat eating? It's full of toxins, indigestible for the most part. What happens? They get cancer and heart disease. Get filled up with toxins, and they die. Get real sick. The consciousness goes into the modes of ignorance and passion. Not a very nice thing. Yes. Yeah, there may be something like that. In Ayurveda, they have prescriptions to keep, what's the effect of drinking goat urine, camel urine, horse urine. Everything is analyzed. So it doesn't sound very pleasant for us, but if you're sick enough, then you'll do anything. So there's things like that also. It may have some positive effect on the body, but it's certainly not in the mode of goodness. Therefore, if there's some better way of doing it, more a sattvic, it's probably better off to take the sattvic way of doing it. Generally what happens, someone drinks, he tries a certain cure because he's desperate, doesn't know what else to do, and it works. Then he goes and tells all his friends, you've overate today, so tomorrow the cure is you drink your urine. Or, for everything it's the cure. Oh, you have cancer, drink your urine. Oh, you have you had a heart attack, when drinking, everything it becomes like the standard to cure everything. Prabhupada gives the example of the doctor who is a horse doctor. You know that example. So he was famous all over the country for treating horses, but he had an assistant. And his assistant, only he wasn't very experienced, but he went with him. And one day, he saw that the horse doctor, there was a horse and he had a big lump in his throat. He took a big hammer out of his bag and he smashed the horse in the throat. And then the big lump went down and the horse was cured. So then the assistant thought, I've learned more or less how to cure horses. And he went all over the country, and every time there's something wrong with a horse, he took a big hammer out of his satchel and smashed the horse. But in this way, so many horses were dying all over the country. And therefore, one day the horse doctor caught up with his assistant and said, why are you killing all these horses? And he said, well, I'm just following your example. One day I saw that there was a big lump in the horse's throat, and you took out a hammer and smashed him, so I've just been doing what you did. He said, yes, but the difference is that this horse, he had swallowed a watermelon. And all I did is smash the watermelon by hitting him with a hammer. That way he swallowed it and everything was all right. But you're imitating me, and therefore you're just simply going around killing horses. Although something may have an effect, it's not that necessarily has a universal effect, or that there's not a better way of doing things. When Prabhupada heard that there's a cure, drinking urine, all he did was laugh. Prabhupada laughed, and then they said, well, is that, it doesn't work, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, well, it may work, but they probably just laughed when he heard it. Yes. Well, do you have any experience with it? Yeah, I think in one of our magazines we have suggestions about malaria, the homeopathic cures for malaria in here, or the prevention. They're not stable, I think, but just a warning. Anyhow, if you get a magazine, we give you free stapling. But there is homeopathic cures against malaria, or prevention against malaria in here. Yes. Once a year. Yeah. If you know anyone who would like to write, send in articles for it, we can appreciate articles. Anyone who would like to assist putting it out, then we can put it out more than once a year. Yes. Not necessarily. Depends how grave your sickness is. I don't know about that. I haven't met all the doctors. But do you know a good doctor? Does anyone know a good doctor here? So yes, maybe you should go to India.
I was once with an Ayurvedic doctor, and he was really famous in our country. Everybody goes to him. And I went there with my friend, who was supposed to be a Vata type, and he put her on a diet for 2 weeks.
You mean fasting or something?
Yeah, fasting. All she could take was some yogurt with water and some orange juice and some hot water. Very good.
What happened after 2 weeks?
Well, she didn't do it for 2 weeks. After a couple of days, it was disaster.
Oh. Yeah,
so that's the kind of doctors we have, and the rest is allopathic. So, what's the difference?
Well, there's cheap flights to India. But don't get sick. Don't do what will cause you to become sick, so that you have to go to a doctor. I mean, I don't. What are the solution would you recommend?
I don't know.
We can't pull doctors out of hats.
I mean, most of us have a career of meat eating, so there must be a lot of toxins in everybody.
Don't worry so much about it. Whatever you do, the body's going to disappear sooner or later.
Yeah.
and along with it, all the toxins will disappear in that way too. The real toxin is that we're covered by the material consciousness. So that toxin we can work out by chanting Hare Krishna. Become purified. That's the best medicine. And for our diet, we can take prasadam. So we already have a nice, you know, prescription. Get better. Yes. Yeah, they chant Hare Krishna every Janmasthami. Yeah, every Janmasthami, or every other Janmasthami, depends how Krishna conscious they are. As Prabhupada writes, there are many allopathic doctors, Ayurvedic doctors in Mathura, and many quacks also. Try and find a good doctor. Don't worry about it. There may be counterfeit money, but still there's also real money. It's not that all the money is counterfeit. So don't go around looking for the counterfeit, for the quacks. Just find one good doctor and everything's all right. Yeah. No, there's a whole science of Ayurveda dealing with children. Generally, children aren't supposed to fast. Yeah.
I have now 11 years recording the thing with my legs running, and sometimes in the day it goes very bad, and then not too bad, chronically. And 7 years ago, there came one devotee and told me about Krishna consciousness and chanting, and I was thinking, oh, I can chant because of this burning leg. But I started because I wanted. And then I saw it goes, and also on the Kala sheet I can chant 75 rounds, and it goes up and down, either I won't chant or I chant. And the very amazing thing is that it becomes better only by chanting.
Yeah, sure.
That's the real medicine. Anything else? Yes.
Marjorie, you might know that your disease or that you're not like so careful about your health because you can't perform your senses so good. So it seems like the most important thing anyway is that if there's any chance to get in control of the mind and senses, it's by becoming Krishna conscious.
Right.
And that's like really moving the cause.
Yeah, that's the primary cause.
So then maybe later on, somewhere along the way, even before you leave your body, you might get something under control.
Well, you become Krishna conscious, everything will be under Krishna's control. That's all one really has to do. Become Krishna conscious, and then all his problems will be solved. But in the meantime, we may try a few other things. Well, generally we shouldn't be hopeless. We should try the best we can, because as soon as you become hopeless or helpless, then immediately your willpower and everything else goes down. And therefore, by giving in to these things or becoming hopeless about it, then you've just become, you don't get the determination to actually gradually learn how to get the strength to do something. Everything depends on faith. So you have to be faithful. And if you don't have faith in others to direct your faith, then you have to at least have faith in yourself that you can get the control gradually, which you can improve your situation.
Well, I see that it's happening. It's pretty gradual.
Yeah. Well, at least it's happening. So have faith that if it's gradual, gradually you can speed up too. Anything else? Yes.
Because I should ask for myself, because I was going to the school for shiatsu therapy, this sort of acupuncture, yeah? So it's like I'm now on the basis of further and like.
You're asking if you should go further in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how long have you been in the Krishna consciousness movement?
About
Well, maybe you should. This is the best medicine. We have the best. We're creating the most important doctors in the Krishna consciousness movement. So maybe you should become certified as a Hare Krishna devotee, you know, by practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, and then later on you may get some other type of service to do in the future. But there's already so many doctors, and people die anyhow. It doesn't matter how many doctors there are. You can't save people from death. But we're the one doctors. This is the movement by which we can train people how to save people from death, which is the greatest disease. Birth, death, old age, the cycle of birth and death. But unless you can cure your own disease, how can you help others? Someone has to be trained in Krishna consciousness first, and then later on one may learn some other things. But this most important thing is to create Krishna conscious devotees. I think we'll stop there because it's time to stop. So thank you all for coming. I hope that you learned a little bit here. It's not very much time. But just to give you a general idea of what Ayurveda is, and hopefully you can apply something in your Krishna conscious career that will help you become a little bit more happy and healthy and satisfied. But our real attention is, we don't have to divert our attention too much to our body and mind, and we can focus it more and more on Krishna, and in our next lifetime we don't have to worry about Ayurveda, because we'll be in the spiritual world, and there everyone is healthy eternally. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is the second.